Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
I said, who's the future of late night? I'm the future of late night. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It's morning here on the west side of the United States, and I am so excited as usual, and I'm happy to be hosting another Blog Talk Radio, the Motown Maurice Hustle and Shuffle. Listen, if you don't know me, get to know me. Check out my website, MotownMaurice.com, the proclaimed future of late night television. I got a lot of great things going on my blog, the quest of a late night talk show host. Matter of fact, just this past week, I started interacting through a video blog response with everyone that leaves a comment. So it's really exciting. Get to know me personally, and check it out. Check it out, leave a comment, explore. All right, enough about that. Let's talk about our guest here today. Woo! If you want to talk about hustle and shuffle, my guest on the show tonight, today, this morning, is in a prime example of that. It was maybe just over a month ago, I'm heading my way to my old roommate's house to pick up my mail, so I'm literally right on La Brea and Sunset. And then a young, pretty lady comes up to me, and she starts to promote her project. She's got flyers, and she's hustling, asking for donations, and she's got a very impressive flyer asking me about her project. And, you know, me, you know, I don't have much money myself. I felt so bad. I had, like, a few change. I had a little bit of change. And I gave it to her. I think it was, like, 25 cents. She still wanted to give me some candy, because that's what she was selling to raise money for a project and film. But I said, no, please just take the chance. But I felt bad in my heart, but I kept looking at this flyer, and I was attracted to it more and more. I'm like, this young lady has something going on. She's really hustling, you know, hustling out, raising money for her film. She's a talented filmmaker. I'm talking a lot. She's on the line. She's going to tell you more about what she's got going on. She's a true definition of a hustler and shuffler. Please put your hands together for our guests on the show today. Yes, yes, yes. Nubia Raheem. Nubia, are you on the line?
I'm here. How's everybody doing? How are you?
I am doing absolutely great. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Motown. That was quite an introduction. It really made me. I had to kind of like hold my giggles. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to burst out laughing.
I'm glad you accepted my invite on this show, because literally you could have labeled me as a cheapskate. Because you hustling, you promoting your project, and I gave you probably what, 7 cents? That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
But that's the thing. Everybody, you know, it's not so, look at the opportunity that you've given me just by being on your show, you know. That's more than any amount of money. That's publicity, exposure, and getting the product out there to people who, it would take me, you know, maybe an hour to get to as many people as I could just by being featured on Motown Maurice. So we have you to thank for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, because it makes me feel a lot better, because I didn't have much on me, and it was just terrible. I could have gave more, and in the future, hopefully, I'll be able to make a donation. But let's talk. Let's talk about what you got going on. You're a filmmaker. You started at a very young age. And what I like about your projects is that you take the stories of your life and you create them into film. You know, unfortunately, you've been through some tough situations. You lost a brother. You have a nephew that's missing. But your ability to compose them into a story is phenomenal, and I'm really excited about sharing that whole process with our viewers today. When did you realize that it was time to take your life situations and put them in the form of a film?
Actually, it was very abrupt. It was right after my brother passed away, and, you know, that's when I realized, because the odd thing was he left a tape before he died, and I think a lot of times people know, you know, a lot of people have premonitions of when they're going to die. So he left the tape, and I sort of felt like his story, you know, hadn't been told, and I felt like a great way to share his story would be through a movie. So I think I was 11, and I told my dad about it. You know, this little kid, I was like, yeah, I want to write a movie. And I had no idea the first thing to do. So he brought me this book that Spike Lee wrote, and after that, it had Do the Right Thing. It had the screenplay in the back. So that was sort of teaching me the format. And from then, you know, I just took that and ran with it and kept it going after that.
Wow, so your brother left the tape. Hold on a second. Your brother's not Tupac, is he?
No, my brother's not Tupac.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was like, what? He left the tape, Tupac? No, I apologize. I don't know. But that's amazing that you were able to extrapolate. Say that again. I'm sorry.
It's amazing
that you were able to extrapolate things from the tape that he left and you started to produce. That's it. So there's so much to talk about. Before we get off the line, I want to talk about your perseverance and the difficulties that you are having in terms of making this project. But your grind is just amazing. Tell me a little bit about your experiences just interacting with random people and promoting your project. First of all, it takes a lot of courage to do that. All right, if you're listening on the line and you want to do something like that, I do recommend that you do it, because you never know who you're going to meet. But it takes courage, and that's, you got it. That's why I had to get you on this show. So please tell me.
Yeah, I totally, totally, totally agree. And I think it changes you a lot, because when I came out here, you know, Hollywood, I mean, as far as anybody who comes out here, I think this whole sort of the industry in general has the sort of, it can be intimidating, because it revolved around fear, I believe. That's been my experience, and I think I'm not the only one who's experienced that. And it's sort of like you get out here and you're all excited. You're like, yeah, I'm going to be the next big thing. And then you realize that if you make one wrong mistake, that can whitemail you from the industry. There's so many different variables and factors. So I think it does take a lot of courage to overcome this sort of group thing that's based in this city. And this was one avenue that allowed me to become more courageous personally and really just go out there and make it happen. And I feel that it does take a lot of walk up to strangers. And sometimes, you know, I feel that as you start walking up to more and more people, you start realizing that, number one, people are pretty, pretty, pretty much the same. And it's so funny, because we have all these prejudices and stereotypes of what we think people are. But the more you start interacting with different people, different cultures, different nationalities, you start realizing even the language barrier is not even a big factor. People can see that you're genuinely trying to do something. I mean, I talk to Latinos. I just go, you know, I speak a little Spanish. I go talk to them. And people are just generally, I find, in my own experience, people are very warm-hearted. Human beings, they have a very good heart. And, I mean, situations and experiences can change that. But I really feel that up underneath most of the layers that people put on, you have just genuinely concerned and caring individuals in the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, how do you deal with the false promises and rejections that you get, and whether it be on the street seeking donations or just people that you that the interaction has advanced to the phone conversation, at a meeting, and then somehow it becomes a rejection or a false promise? How do you deal with that?
That's another beast to deal with. And it's hard. You know, it's like, man, you know, if you get those people who dangle money in your face, like we were talking about this, and it's like sometimes people, they'll say they have the money. Like I've run into a lot of individuals who are financially able to invest, but, you know, for one reason or another, you know, they might read the business plan, then they'll say, okay, call me back on this day. And they're just unavailable. They don't answer the phone. I don't know, you know, for one reason or another, I don't know why. Maybe they're just really time consuming. They don't have time, or maybe they don't think the project is something they're interested in. But when you get those people who, it's sort of like they're initially interested, and then for one reason or another, they don't pick up the phone when you call. I find that that's that comes with the territory. And then at the same time, you get so many people who tell you no that, it's almost like your skin gets really tough. You know, it's like, okay, well, this part, you know, it's like no, no, no. So when you do get a yes, it's almost, it's extremely, it almost doesn't feel real. You know, it's like, did you just say yes for real? Okay. You know, like, actually, like, yesterday, I'm looking like, okay, I'll give you an example. I received a grant recently for this project, and, you know, it was sort of like, I couldn't believe that I received it. I was like, did I really get, you know, it's not for a big amount or anything, but it was still like, I got a grant. Like, I didn't even have any, like, excitement. I was like, okay, I got a grant. You know, let's move on. Let me try to get some more. It's like, I almost have stopped feeling, you know, because the rejection, if I feel, then I wouldn't have made it this far. If every time someone says no, then I just stop and then don't, you know, continue going, so...
It's so well said what you just said, and everyone listening, what this actually does is it really builds character, and you have a lot of character. If I could just mention one thing, not only was your presentation well with your flyer and you were aggressive, you know, promoting your project, but you were pleasant. You know, every now and then I try to give a donation to somebody who asks, but... the one thing that turns me off is their, you know, you can see their anguish and their disappointment in their face. You were smiling, you know, and everything just seemed right. So that's another reason why we're connected today. And back to build a character, it that's what it really does. And everything that you're just saying is so parallel to my experiences in Tampa, Florida. I spent years trying to get donations for my shows that I was doing because I started doing shows in 2007. And in 2009, I finally said, you know, I'm doing my late night talk show. And my attitude was like, forget donation, forget sponsorship. I'm going to submit a few to some people, so forget about it. You know, I'm going to do it one way or another. And then I finally got it. She's like a second mother to me now, Pamela Y. Robinson. It was like kind of unreal. It's like, what? So it's like when you get to that point where you're almost like you don't care about it or you're progressively moving forward regardless with or without it, that's when it comes in. It's amazing how it always happened that way. Don't you agree?
Exactly. I totally agree, and I think that's where I'm at right now. I'm right there with you, just saying I'm right there.
Go ahead.
I haven't lost that vigor. You know, it's important to keep your inspiration for why you even started, you know, and I'm still inspired, and every time, like I was talking about this, every time I look at kids outside riding their bicycles, or, you know, you get inspiration from so many different everyday situations, and that's what keeps me focused and inspired to continue. I feel like this is a great story, and somebody's going to, I think a lot of people will enjoy it. I think a lot of people will want to see this.
Oh. Yes, and we're going to talk about your story right now, but one last thing I want to say, not only are you a filmmaker, not only are you a storyteller, but you're an entrepreneur, and every successful entrepreneur actually gets to the point where they actually love rejection, seriously speaking. It's like rejection to me is almost like food. Oh, you say you don't like me, you don't want to support me? I eat that up. You know, I dispose of it, and I just keep on going. It's like food to me. So I feel your energy, keep on thriving, and just eat it up. Eat it up. That's all I got to say. So tell me. You got the film that you're working on, the primary film you're working on. And ladies and gentlemen, do know that her first film, if I'm not mistaken, she produced before she was even 16. And now she's working on a new film called Pedal Power. What's that about?
Pedal Power is the inspirational story of the Olympic cyclist. She starts off as a rebellious orphan, and she goes on a triumph in the male-dominated sport, BMX cycling. So it's sort of an inspirational tale, you know, of a girl overcoming obstacles and really succeeding in an area where she's not really welcomed. So this is a story about a 12-year-old, and I really got a lot of inspiration from my childhood, just riding my bike with my girls. Me and my girls would just ride all day up and down hills. Atlanta, Georgia is pretty hilly, so we'd be riding, flying down hills, going up, and then I started off on the red banana seat, and then I upgraded to a road bike, I think was a Swin, and it had like the little circle handlebars. So anyway, that's kind of what the project is about, and a little bit about the inspiration. So I think it's a really good story, and it's going to include a lot of stunts, different things, and I'm really souped up about it.
Hey, not only are you juiced up, I think you got a few people juiced up because the lines are starting to blow up right now. So I got some people that are patiently waiting to get on the phone. It just went from 2 to 3. So one by one, I'm going to call you in, so be ready. Got a 404-723. Hello, 404-723. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing? What's your name and why are you calling?
Yes, my name is Richard. And, yeah, I was just calling to ask, Nubia, the filmmaker, like, what is, how do you draw inspiration from, I know you just created, like, a really good story about how, you know, you were inspired even as a child, you know, and that kind of inspired your projects. But, you know, not only for, like, filmmakers, but, like, people who do music or write or whatever it is, like, how do you think it's the best way to incorporate, you know, your own life experience, you know, into your activity?
Okay. Hi, Richard. How you doing? Well, I think that one of the ways is to, inspiration can be found everywhere, and I think a lot of times, I don't really believe in writer's block. I feel that a lot of times people put too much emphasis on, I think it's really the mind that is playing. It's like, you know, saying, oh, I don't have anything to write about. I think, you know, you can pretty much write about anything. And a lot of times, like for me personally, I find inspiration in nature. Like I love to write at the beach or either by trees, water, watching the birds. The other day I was driving down the street and I saw this little bird that was sitting in the bushes. And it was I don't know what it was doing. It was moving its feathers. Like, it was just the cutest little thing, though. It was so cute. And I was looking at that. I was like, man, you should do an animation story about some little birds or something. And I immediately started thinking about a movie for it. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think it can be found anywhere. And for me, more so, I find it in nature. And as far as music, I love music, you know. So music is like a whole nother animal. Inspiration for music. And another thing, I really would love to like work with some great compositioners to put together a great piece for this soundtrack. So that's another thing that we want to do. But anyway,
I didn't even. Do you need soundtrack work and stuff like that? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that probably, you know, work on music and stuff like that. It shouldn't be hard to find people to work on a soundtrack. Thank you for your question, for answering the question. That was a very good answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thank you very much, Richard. I appreciate your call. Make sure you stay on the line. We've got some good good stuff coming up. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. All right. I mean, stay listening. Thanks. All right, thanks, Richard. We got another caller on the line. It's a 404-317. 404-317, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, Millie. Hello. Yeah, Kimi, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually working on this project with Nubia, and I just wanted to talk about it just a little bit more. I pretty much heard what you all were saying, but can I say something to Richard real quick?
Okay, well, Richard's actually not on the line, but he should be listening. Keep on going. You can just go ahead and say, direct your question or your comment to him.
I just wanted to piggyback on what Nubia was saying as far as finding inspiration everywhere. But what I also learned, because writing is a different type of beast, you really have to do it. So as far as building that momentum, whenever spirit hits you, like with any idea, I would say just write it down and try to set time aside to just write. Get it out of your system. And then, you know, just keep it moving, because a lot of times we lose the idea and we never come back to it. So just with inspiration, I just feel like just following spirit. With Petal Power, I'm just so happy that Nubia pushed this out of her system, and following her with the process, she has come so far from where it started. And it's a story that needs to be told, because I don't feel like we have a lot of children's stories, especially from a girl's perspective, and with doing something that crosses gender lines as far as bike racing. You know, a lot of times you just see it as a boy's sport. So to see this little girl with our faith, all her challenges, and still overcome through her sport, I think is very inspirational, boys and girls. But it's also a family film, and we don't have a lot of family films, I don't feel, that are out and wholesome but still entertaining.
Yes, 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 yes. So listen, I think someone else is on the line. They may have a question about the project. So why don't y'all both stay, and I'm going to get this 404-287 number on the line. Be ready, be prepared. You are on the line. Who are you? Why are you calling?
Okay, hello. My name is Tiana Taylor, and I'm calling to support Nubia. She's actually my best friend, and I just want to give her love and support.
Aww.
Yeah, thanks, Tiana. I also wanted to say something about Nubia for a minute. I've been knowing Nubia for 20. Hello?
Please go ahead.
Okay, I've been knowing Nubia for 20 years, and as long as I've known Nubia, she's always known what she wanted to do. Writing has always been a passion of hers, even as when we were growing up as children. So I just want to support you, Nubia, and I'm really glad that you're going ahead in your project, and I wish you the best, and I know that you're a very hard worker, and you're going to make it, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Tiana. You will make me laugh.
Thanks,
Tiana.
Good luck.
Thanks, Tiana.
Okay.
Oh, that was great.
Well, the support is obviously there. I've heard, Nubia, so you're casting for this film right now? Is that right?
Kenny, we really got to start looking for it. I wanted to put a, you know, filler out there, see if, you know, anyone knows of any 12-year-old girls are around that age range. Who can really come through as far as acting. And we are currently looking for someone
that's
in the age range.
Go ahead, I said, how should they contact you?
Oh, that's a good, that's a good idea. Contact, you can either, I would say the best way would be email probably at nubiarahim@gmail.com. That's spelled nubiarahim@gmail.com. They can also, I'll just leave it at email for now. And or you can check out the website at lilosiris.com, littleosiris.com, and that has a contact form. You can also contact us through that website.
So. Nice, nice, nice. So when's What are your goals for this project? When do you plan to have it done, and you plan to get it in the theaters, straight to DVD, and the film festival? What's your vision?
Well, our vision, after it's completed, we like to put it out as many film festivals. Really careful research is needed to figure out what film festival it would be most received at. And after that, we would hope to, if a distribute, we would like, I would like to go to the service deal. The service deal, utilizing that platform would allow us more creative control over the marketing and publicity arena. So essentially, we will be paying a marketing and publicity firm to, you know, advertise the film instead of it being instead of them just basically buying the film and taking over whatever, however they wanted to market it. So that would be one avenue, but again, I'm open, you know. I think it's better to be open as far as what you want to do with the film. But, you know, that is our strategy where we're going right now.
Nice. So we got like less than 4 minutes on this show. I want you to both share some inspiration and some advice to any other filmmaker out there that is thinking about taking the step and looking for inspiration. Share it from the heart, one by one. Go ahead.
Nice, thank you. Yeah,
I would say as far as when it comes to filmmaking, you really just have to do it. And I know there are those people that we just dream about working with, but, you know, until you meet them, it's like, what have you been doing before, you know? So I would say just do it, and also focus on your strengths. And wherever you're not strong, find people to collaborate with that may be able to balance you out. So, like, Nubia is a great writer, and I'm more of a performer/director. So we do well with that. But we both do really good at networking. So we talk to anybody. You just never know who that person knows or how you can help them or, you know, whatever it is that you all can do for one another. But also just being open, like she said before, because that allows you to receive so much. You just never know what you might learn from anyone or anything. I think that's the beauty of filmmaking, because you're really imitating life.
Right? Nice.
Yeah.
And Nubia?
I mean, she said it, you know. She said it. I concur. Everything she said, I think it's really good to really network and put yourself around and figure out, you know, when you're making films, you really do need a strong team. And I totally agree with everything she said as far as finding someone who is stronger in different aspects. You know, you might be a great, you know, writer, and then you have someone else who's a great director, or someone else who's more prone to marketing, or someone else who's more prone to the business aspects of what the money in when the film is completed and needs to get out there and really needs to be publicized and things like that. So it's really important to have a strong team because, I mean, one person, I mean, we've seen people who've done everything by themselves, and you can do it. I don't knock anybody doing that, but I do think it's more stressful that way. And I feel that the project is it could just be a more enjoyable experience for everybody if there are a number of people involved that are stronger in different aspects. So,
yeah, and also
well
purpose, because you can be taken in so many different directions. Like we say, be open, but you don't want to be so open that you're sacrificing your own beliefs. You know, if it's a certain message that you want to get out to people, be true to that and know that there are other people that need to hear it, whatever the message is, and see it.
Yeah. Well said, young ladies. Thank you very much for being on the show. Real quickly, Nubia, shout out your email address and contact info. You got a few seconds.
Nubia Rahim is the email, NubiaRahim@gmail.com, and the website is Little Osiris, which is L I L
osiris.com. And we're
Thank
both
you
on
very
Facebook.
Much. I wish you all both the best. I really appreciate you being on this show. It's been very inspirational. I'm sure you've warmed the hearts of many. Nubia, stay pleasant and beautiful just as you are, because you're going to continue attracting all kinds of wonderful people in your life, just like you attracted me. My bad on the lousy donation, but I'm sure we're going to continue this relationship so it can continue on and grow in the future. All right?
Oh, and we're both on Facebook. I can put that out there.
Okay, well, let's put them on Facebook, and we'll probably add some more links to the bio on the profile page, so you can always come back to this interview and get some updates. All right, thank you very much for listening, ladies.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Bye. That has been a wonderful interview. Inspiration is everywhere, folks. You can find it. You know, when you look at these actors and these comedians on TV, they don't become great actors because they're reading a book. They become great actors because they study people in real life. Ricky Smiley, a funny comedian, gets all of his jokes from going to church, you know. So inspiration is everywhere, you know. So just pay attention and you can be able to put it in your film. Your films and your vision is just like Nubia and her partner is doing. So thank you very much for listening. Make sure you check out my website, www.motownmaurice.com. Until next time, as the quest continues, be blessed. Take care.